Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. I'm reacting to President Putin's comments the other day, saying that Russia shan't launch any more wars so long as Western countries treat Russia with respect. This goes back to the myth of Russian humiliation in the 90s. So the Soviet Union broke up, and actually it was the Russian government started disobeying the Soviet government, because there was the Soviet government, which was over the 15 Union Republics. Within that was the Russian Federation. Mikhail Gorbachev, he was president of the Soviet Union at the end, and the president of the Russian Federation, so subordinate to him, was Boris Yeltsin, who started disobeying him. But the other Union Republics all broke up. There's the Belavezha Accords in late 1991, when Russia recognized all this, along with Ukraine and Belarus, anyway, and so became independent. But Russia, nevertheless, still illegally occupies Transnistria to this day, part of the Republic of Moldova, illegally occupies South Ossetia and Abkhazia, which are Georgian sovereign territory. Now, should Abkhazia and South Ossetia be independent countries? You could argue that, fine. But legally, they are part of Georgia, and the United Nations could sort this out. But nobody besides Russia recognizes them as independent. So they were not humiliated. They were humiliating others. They were intervening to overthrow the Georgian president, Zviad Gamsa Khurdia, who died either by murder or by suicide. It's unclear. So they caused that Georgian civil war in the early 90s. They caused a brief Moldovan civil war, and the Russian army was fighting it, and so forth, selling weapons to both sides when Armenia fought Azerbaijan over Nagorno-Karabakh in the early 90s. Now, had they sold them to only one side, that might have been because they took a view on it and want one side to win. But if you sell it to both sides, that's because you want the war, not the war to end. You want to prolong it. So it's preposterous to say that. And wealthy countries, not just Western countries, like Japan, Germany, United States, United Kingdom, France, Canada, they all lent money to Russia. They were desperate to save Russia, to keep Russia at an even keel, because it was almost a failed state in the 90s, which is why October 1993, as people were saying, the October Revolution repeated itself when the parliament refused to obey President Yeltsin, got to the stage that he even sent his troops to bombard the White House, not in Washington, in Moscow, the house of the Russian government. And hundreds of people were killed. So only 2 years earlier, the Soviet Union would be the second mightiest country in the world. But by 1993, there was open fighting on the streets of Moscow. And it was actually touch and go whether the generals were going to obey the president, even those commander-in-chief, because according to the 1978 constitution, parliament was supreme, not the president. Anyway, in the end, the army did obey, and the president's supremacy was made clear, and the vice presidency was abolished. So Western countries were saving Russia financially. Now, these were not completely altruistic in their actuation, these moves. It's partly because they did not want the Russian state to collapse, spreading chaos everywhere. The only thing they would have to sell would be weaponry, including nuclear weapons, biological weapons, chemical weapons. Who do they sell those to? There could be millions of refugees flooding neighboring countries. But, you know, Russia was helped out. Russia was bailed out and eventually recovered. There was talk, would Russia be allowed to join the European Union? Would it want to join NATO? So bring it within that security architecture. So is it not humiliating? Is Russia humiliating others? Okay, there was indeed fighting in the Tajik civil war. You might say it was the right thing to do, favoring a vicious dictatorship against people who are the likes of the Taliban. So lesser of two evils, but not by much. And so it goes on. So don't believe this Putin's rhetoric. Yes, there were problems in Russia at the time, severe problems, partly the legacy of communism, partly Boris Yeltsin. And they all like to blame Gorbachev. He was out of office, incorruptible. And he's the one who brought the free expression and fair elections and fair trials and released the political prisoners and closed the slave labor camps, allowed them to move freely around the country or to emigrate, ended the occupation of other countries. So he's actually a real hero. Unfortunately, this is associated with economic implosion. Is Boris Yeltsin, he was under him, there was the rule of the seven bankers and so on. There was gross defalcation and people weren't paid for months on end and so forth. And drug abuse and prostitution became quite common. Okay, so now we have Putin saying that, but respect for him equals fear. And if you read that autobiography, well, it was really a series of interviews, publisher became president in 2000, The First Person, it's called. He's very candid about how they're using fear. So it is all state terrorism, terrorizing people at home and abroad. And that's clearly what he does with other countries. Energy blackmail. If you don't want to do what we say, we'll cut off the oil and gas. There'll be cyber attacks. There'll be murders, as there have been of politicians in Ukraine. Attempted murder of the president in 2004, Viktor Yushchenko. Obviously, murder in the United Kingdom and Germany. Attempted murder of Sergei Skripal. Accidentally killed Dawn Spurgess, a just luckless British woman who happened to pick up a perfume bottle, and so forth. So that's them. So respect would be to allow them to get away with their many, many severe breaches of international law, to recognize their illegal occupation of Moldova, of Georgia, of Ukraine, and having made crime pay, why wouldn't they do it again? Someone who's pedantically legalistic when the law suits him, but the law just doesn't count when it suits anyone, who's always issuing these red notices through Interpol to try and arrest political dissidents abroad, or Bill Browder for exposing a huge scale kleptocracy in Russia. But Russia will never ever extradite its own citizens. Even Andrei Lugovoy, the prime suspect in the murder of Alexander Litvinenko in London in 2006, despite absolutely overwhelming evidence, they won't extradite him. They have offered to put him on trial in Russia. Now, in Russia, the conviction rate is over 99%. But this is one case, whereas if Lugovoy was tried within Russia, you can bet your bottom kopeck he would be acquitted. And so it goes on. So the respect for Russia means obviously turning Nelson's eye to huge-scale human rights abuses in Chechnya, in Ukraine and elsewhere. Massacres like at Bucha, deliberately targeting civilians. And you can see the footage that the Russian drone pilots publish of them killing civilians, someone who's blatantly a civilian, a stooped-over hobbling elderly woman, little children, or whatever, a mother with several children, and so on, when they're firing these drones over the Dnieper River into Kherson and elsewhere. Wide-scale rape of women, and we know from their intercepted communications that their senior commanders know about it. I believe not a single Russian soldier has been prosecuted by their own side for this kind of thing. And you see how badly they treat their own soldiers, beating them up, putting them in pits for insubordination, or tying them to trees till they're going to die of thirst or whatever. And duping people from South Africa and other countries, or Kenya, sending them forth to get killed in these so-called meat attacks. So that's what respect would mean for him. Is obviously is Russia needs to respect international law, and it's not that anybody needs to respect. If anything, Russia has been respected too much. I don't disrespect their culture. They might like their architecture, their cooking, their music, their dancing. Some of their cultural traditions are quaint or charming. Don't shake hands across the threshold or whatever. So there are many Russians I really like, and obviously nationality doesn't matter that much. It was one of Putin's many false beliefs that it does. It's an imagined community. It's personality, and you have all personality types in all nationalities and all religions. So they're good people and bad people, but good people will do bad, partly because of religion, or partly because of hyper-nationalism, the sort of thing he's constantly pumping out. But who's stupid enough to believe him? Well, there are plenty of people. Nazis and communists in Western countries will go along with this. Oh, don't poke the bear. The bear has not been poked. The bear is poking everybody else, is victim blaming everybody again. An escalation. It was escalatory to illegally occupy Moldova, escalatory to invade Abkhazia, escalatory to invade South Ossetia, escalatory to start the Georgian Civil War, escalatory to aggravate the Nagorno-Karabakh War, and so forth. Escalatory to murder Alexander Litvinenko, escalatory to attempt the murder of Sergei Skripal and his daughter, escalatory to murder a Georgian citizen living in Germany. And there are many, many, many sorts of things. And all these trying to interfere with the global positioning system of civilian aircraft, or the British Defence Secretary's plane a couple of years ago, Grant Shapps, of all the cyber attacks and things like that. So it's all very worrying to even switch off a pipeline in the United States a few years ago. And these things are very difficult to defend against. So the best form of defense is attack. Why on earth are Western countries not counter-striking? Like just with gray zone warfare, not to hurt anyone physically, but cyber attacks and things like that. I mean, the Ukrainians are doing it. Maybe Western computer experts are helping them. Anyway, thanks so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.